Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. I want to start at verse 17 reading. Romans 4:17 says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Now we'll pause here, and then we'll pick up on the rest of those verses. But what we want to, what I feel stirred to share here is that having hope against hope speaks of Abraham here, where God, his plan was that he would have a nation come out of him that would testify of Christ. And of course, at that point, he didn't even have one son yet, but he would birth Isaac, who then would birth Jacob, who would have the 12 tribes under him. But he says, I've made thee a father of many nations, and before him whom he believed. And it says, you know, God, about God here, he quickens the dead, or he gives life to that which is dead. And in this case, it was Abram's body was old, and he and his wife were both beyond childbearing. But God, the life and power of God, can give us life to fulfill whatever he's called us to do. And he says, he calls things which be not as though they already were. Now, that's not denial. He doesn't call things that are as though they are not. It's things that are not as though they were. And the thing that was not was that he's father of many nations. God was speaking that to him. He changed his name to Abraham, which literally meant father of many nations. So every time he was calling his name, he was speaking that forth prophetically, father of many nations, father of many nations. And it's important to note that God always speaks a thing before it's done. And we need to learn to walk in that same pattern. But verse 18 says, "Who against hope believed in hope." Who against hope, or in the natural, there was no hope. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is what you're looking forward to, or a confident expectation. It's a definition. And that's not the same as faith. Sometimes people, when they teach, sort of use those words interchangeable. They're not. You begin with hope, the basis of expectation, and then your faith brings that into reality. Now, in the natural, Abram had no hope. He and his wife were beyond childbearing. But he had a hope, which was according to what was spoken. Our hope is in the promise of God, or what was spoken. Sometimes people will say, well, my faith is in a promise of God. Excuse me. No, my hope's in a promise of God. My faith's in a power of God. And I want to really make this really clear here. You begin with hope. If you got to have faith, but if you don't have any hope, there's nothing to apply faith to. Amen. So in the natural, there are times in our life we don't have hope. In the natural. And that's where we need to know what God's saying to us. Faith, hope, and love are part, or like the triune aspect of walking in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 13:13. You begin with hope and you apply faith, and the motivation is love, love for God, which translates into loving people. So, in the natural, there's no hope, but there is hope when God speaks to something. Now, what I want to do at this point is share a little bit of a testimony from myself for myself this week. last week I finished the hyperbaric oxygen thing, and we had an appointment with a podiatrist. Of course, my right big toe was amputated and wasn't healing. The bone was sticking out, no bleeding or anything. And anyway, that was a few months ago and looked pretty bad. But the podiatrist, when we were there, she said, "It's healed. It's closed up. It's healed." So that was like a moment of victory.
Yes.
But then she said, "You know, I really didn't have any hope for that healing in the beginning when she first, because there was no blood flow. And there was no hope in the natural." And she didn't say that to me. I appreciate that. She didn't say that in the beginning. But after the fact, she said, "You know, I didn't really have hope for that because there was no blood flow, because the artery was blocked." And the Lord opened that up. I mean, the med people wanted to do a surgery or whatever. I said no to that because the dye they put in could cause kidney failure. It's like, if a kidney issue causes diabetes, why would I do that? I mean, I'm having to tell these specialists this. Why would I do that? You know, so anyway, I am just going to trust the Lord. And the Lord opened it, blood began to flow. And at that point, a couple months ago, the podiatrist was all excited. He's like, "It's bleeding, it's bleeding." Blood on the floor. And her and Donna were all excited. It's like, generally, you don't get excited when there's blood coming out your leg, right. But they're all excited. "It's bleeding, it's bleeding." Well, in the natural, according to the natural. Okay, and I don't fault the doctors in that they're just saying what they saw and what their training would tell them. But see, we're not limited to what man can do or man's training. And we have to be very mindful of that, because you can create limitations for God if you put what man says as the end all be all. Or that's the final authority. So there's no hope in the natural, but the hope was in God, that Jesus is healer. And there's other things I need healing with, I'm still believing for, but that was like the forefront issue.
Yes.
Because if that didn't heal, then reinfect, and I ended up having to get my foot or leg cut off, or it could kill you for that matter. I mean, that was just the natural facts of what we're looking at. And where there's no hope, there is hope. And I'm sharing this with you because there can be different areas or the application here is with healing. But there could be situations in your life where you lose hope, where you can begin to believe, well, this can't change, it won't change, it's impossible. It could be a financial, it could be a relational type of thing. It could be health-wise. But we cannot allow ourselves to ever come into the mindset of no hope.
That's right.
And it can happen really easily. Because at that point, discouragement comes in and you can be tempted to quit. And we really need a no-quit mindset walking through this life, that there is no quit, that you know, we persevere on to the end. Quit's not an option. It was like a week or so ago, one of the Bible school students asked me, he said, "Have you ever been tempted to go back from the ministry into construction work or something like that?" And I said, "Well, opportunities come for discouragement. I don't allow myself to think about it. I don't allow myself to think about it. You see, if you entertain ideas of quitting, you're already on that path and that road. And if it comes out of your mouth, then the devils that are trying to work you, they'll keep pummeling you with whatever. Well, there's no hope or whatever. Or to try to pull you outside of the love walk realm, if that's pertaining to it. Because you can easily get tired of dealing with people or people's problems or certain challenges. And you can't even give that option to your mind. You know, there's an old song, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. To me, that's a very powerful confession. You know, if you've made a decision to follow him based on who he is, you don't give the option in your mind of quit. You fight to the end. And it's a resolve that we need to have. Now, we apply that to whatever. In this case, with healing, well, it's not just, okay, I say I believe in God, but now I'm going to go just do whatever man says, even though my spirit, I have reservations about it, and God, you know, would want me to do this. No give up, no quit. Excuse me. No compromise. It's a resolve that we establish in our heart. So who against hope believed in hope, he had a strong hope. And the hope is based on what you know God said. So it says, according to that which was spoken. So we learn to live our life according to what we know God has spoken. Not just some mental assent, well, the Bible says this, but this is real in your heart. This is strong within you. The Lord spoke this to me back when Donna was pregnant with Jared, and she was 2 months pregnant, and started to have miscarriage, bleeding very heavily. And we went to the doctor, and he did a sonogram, and he came out, and he started to speak, saying, well, you know, something's wrong. This is nature's way to deal with, you know, something being wrong, blah, blah, blah. He was just speaking his training. And out of my spirit came these words. God spoke to us, we would have a son. He will live and not die, Jesus' name. Now, I wasn't trying to be any way with him or anything. It was just out of my spirit. Because I knew that, we knew that. God spoke to us, we would have a son. So he will live and not die in Jesus' name. And that was the hope at that point, even though in the natural, she was miscarrying. The baby was coming down the birth canal. And the manifestation occurred of healing 3 days later. Donna was taking communion with another sister. And she felt like going back up the birth canal. And we went back a week later. They did another sonogram. A doctor came out, family doctor. He did childbirth. He was a good man. His face was all pale. He said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. That can't happen. The baby went back up the birth canal. That can't happen. It's a miracle. And it was the Lord. It was the power of God. It was a miracle. In the natural, there was no hope based on the sonogram, the bleeding, all of that. But God spoke a word to us, and we held fast to that. We would have a son. He will live and not die in Jesus' name. So you need to know what God's spoken to you. You live by that. It's very important in how you navigate life. You don't just have knowledge about the Bible. You know what he's spoken to you. And that is the anchor to your soul, or the hope that you would have. Where in the natural there would not be hope, but there's a hope for us in him, in what he has spoken to us. So it's according to something. Now, some people think wishful thinking is hope. That's not. Just being wishful. Sometimes I'll hear people say things like, oh, it'll all work out. That's incorrect thought. It's just not going to work out because you're good. It's not going to work out because you're a nice person. It's not going to work out because you're a Christian. That's the thought process sometimes. Well, things will work out. They're just being wishful. And sometimes people try to console people with wishful thinking, but there is no strength or power to it because it's not according to what God has spoken. It's just according to like a human desire. All things will work out. You know what? For a lot of people, things don't work out. They go from bad to worse. But for us, because of our covenant with God and we have promises from God, we have a living hope that will strengthen our spirit and becomes the basis for the application of faith. So we need to walk with awareness of the things that we know God has spoken to us. Now, again, there are covenant promises relative to he will heal you or protect you, or he will bring financial provision. Then there are things relative to, like, say, your children that he may have spoken to you, and things could look really bad. You could have one that's rebellious, or they've drifted away from God, and you know God's spoken something to you about their life. You hold fast to that and continue to pray and release faith for the ministry of the Holy Ghost to bring change and transformation to their life. But if we magnify what we see and what we hear, then you'll end up letting go of that hope. So who against hope believed in hope according to what was spoken. Well, God says, so shall your seed be. Verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, which was now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The promise of God could have been staggering to him because God spoke to him, a nation's going to rise out of him. And he's beyond childbearing. He had struggled after that initial word from God for 25 years till he received Isaac, miracle child. 25 years. We're become somewhat of an instant society. And if things don't happen right away, then we move on to something else. People often let go of what God has spoken to them if it doesn't happen right away. We have to get beyond thinking in terms of time. But rather, we need to persevere and hold fast to that hope, meanwhile allowing faith to be strengthened within us. Now, in Abram's situation, what was needed was greater revelation of God. And it was in Genesis 17 where God appeared to him and said that I am Almighty God. And that revelation is what put him over the top. Because then after that, faith rose in him to receive Isaac as a son, or to receive the miracle. He needed a greater revelation of who God was. Now, prior to that, God had revealed himself, covenant-keeping God, Jehovah Jireh's provider. God had given him vision, count the stars, which he was strengthening the hope in a visionary sense because we comprehend in pictures. So God gave him pictures. So your seed shall be as the stars of heaven. Well, he was a herdsman. He slept under the stars. Yes. He laid there and looked at them at night. And that was a constant reminder or picture of what God wanted to do. So there's that aspect where God will, we use the word vision a lot, but he'll give you a picture of that which he desires to do. But then we have to have faith relative to him bringing it to pass. And that's where our struggle was. He got into his own ability and he ends up with Ishmael. And when you try to pursue the will of God in your ability, it will always be fighting against what God actually wanted to do. Always. You end up birthing something that becomes a problem. And human nature will do it every time. We have to die to our ability and learn to completely trust God with whatever we're dealing with. So here's Abram. He didn't stagger at the promise of God. Actually, he did. But God remembers you how you finish, not the struggle you're going through. You know, we can tend to look at our struggles and allow that to be magnified, but God's looking at how you finish. As long as you don't quit, you know, there's still hope. But when you surrender, when you quit, then it's over. You're not going to receive anything. So he didn't consider the natural circumstance, which said there's no hope here. He's 100 years old. And he didn't allow unbelief to rule him, where for a time it did, but the greater revelation that came put him over or strengthened him in faith. And this corresponds to Romans 10:17 that I've been saying repeatedly now since I've a greater understanding of that verse, that faith comes by, or the Greek word ek, out of the process of hearing the word, and the hearing, the second place the word in the English by is used is hearing unto the completion. You hear unto the completion. Faith will begin to rise as we hear, continue to hear, not just, well, I heard this once, yeah, I know that.
Absolutely.
But we continue to hear and hear and hear what God is saying or what his word has spoken, whether it be through preaching or something recorded or through your own confession. But nonetheless, to continue the process of hearing. And I think where sometimes people err is they think just knowing about something is hearing it continuous. Hearing is a continuous act. It's what it's speaking of. And faith will arise out of that. Well, how long do I have to keep doing that, Pastor Bill? Till it's complete. Till it's complete. Till that word is fulfilled or completed. That's how long. So we're so blessed with our devices nowadays, you know, which is something that I've done a lot in the last months here, 6 months or whatever, is you can go on like YouTube, put in healing scriptures, and have it. The one I listened to, the Brother Hagin reading all the healing scriptures in the Bible, but there's others that do that. You might like it with ocean sound in the background or what. Yeah, Donna has certain things like that she likes to listen to. And you know, like you're hearing that, listening over and over. It's going into your spirit. And we need to understand it's not just about mental assent, but filling your spirit with that word, the continuation of it, where faith rises to receive what you need. Now, that being said, I like to quote Brother Arthur Burt, where faith's married to wisdom. You know, there may be some things in the natural God would have you do, but it needs to be married together with faith. So faith and wisdom. So it's in that continued process, continuing to hear the word of God. Now, sometimes people say, well, I'm too busy to do that. No, you don't have the option to not continue to hear the word. You need to change something in your life. If you think you're too busy for time abiding in the word, if you think you're too busy, you need to change something. Your priority's out of line. And with our devices, like I like playing that in the evening before I go to sleep, you know, just hear the scriptures being read on healing and let that build in your spirit. Now, in Jesus' time, people didn't have copies of the scriptures. All the scripture was handwritten and was in a synagogue, so they had to go there to hear the reading of the scripture. And they had to pay attention. One of the things that's sad to me, in a sense, is it seems in today's generation, people have become very undeveloped in paying attention. I mean, you can't even go through a drive-through window and say, I want a hamburger with cheese and pickles, and something else comes out. Chicken sandwich comes out. We run into this all this time. It's like you had to hear just one thing, and you couldn't listen close enough for that. Just push a button. That's how pathetic it's getting. And I'm not meaning to pick on fast food. I'm just using it as an example. Probably most of you have encountered already. And there's a development in paying attention. I know when our sons were young, we used to read to them. And actually every night we'd read. And then you would train them to listen and pay attention. To hear, to reading. You know, some kids, like you try to give them an instruction, and they walk away and hear a word said. That's a mental discipline that should be developed in people. Well, anyway, you know, they learn to read and pay attention and think. And some people, they can't think for themselves because that's not developed. You need to focus, pay attention. And because too much is done for them. That's the downside with things like computers, where your thinking's done for you. And I just get a kick out of Jesse. You know, he worked in a grocery store, and he could figure out the change and all that in his head quicker than he could push the buttons. Well, he learned to do that. And a lot of people that are older, you didn't have computers and calculators and all that. You learn to do math in your head. Well, there's a lot of people, they can't do that now. We go in a store or something, I'd figure, I don't want to carry extra change, so I'd figure out, you know, I'd give like, here's $10.37, and I'm thinking I'll get a quarter back. Donna's shaking her head, because you have many times, I guess, not to pick on younger people, but they don't know what, they can't think. They don't know what to do. Like, why are you giving me 37 cents? Well, I want a quarter back. You say, why are you doing that to them? But I'm just, again, I'm not meaning to pick. I'm using as an example that there is a development that needs to take place. So anyway, when I was teaching history in junior high in our school, sometimes I would read from biographies and teach spontaneously from a biography. And I would read something and I would be asking the students, okay, what do we learn from this? Because that was my approach with history. What do we learn? How do we apply it to our life? Where most kids hated history, it was all about memorization of facts and dates and all that. And that didn't come easy for some people. So, I would read that. And it just came to me that one day, I asked, how many of you, your parents read to you at night? And it was a certain number of them. And they all enjoyed me doing that. But the ones who didn't grow up with that struggled in a class like that to listen to me to read and then teach spontaneously because they had trouble following through and retaining the information. That's just a development of your mind, developing something in your mind. And it's not good where so much is done for you, where there is a lack of development, whether it be spirit, soul, or body. Well, with the hearing of the word back in the day of Jesus, they had to go to the synagogue and hear the scriptures read because they didn't have a copy in their hands. That didn't come along like the 15th and 16th century with the development of the printing press. It revolutionized everything. And they began to translate Bibles into the language of the people and print them. So to have a Bible was as precious as gold. I mean, that was so, so precious. You had a copy of the Word of God in your home. And then it got to a point some years ago where we'd have like 5 copies of the Bible in our home. And now, people have a device. I love my iPad because I have like Bible, study Bible, music, all that right there. And especially when it comes to travel, where you have all that stuff, and I'm taking like a cassette player and Bible and books and all, it's all just right there. There's really no excuse. There's no excuse for people. It's so much easier to abide in the word. But if you don't have it in your heart and have the understanding of the value and importance of that, even though it's so accessible and easy, you won't do what you need to do.
That's right.
We don't want to be guilty of that. Okay, so Abram became strong in faith, and the outward evidence of that, he was giving glory to God, calling things which be not as though it already was. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Your faith is in the ability of God to do it. Your hope is in what he has said it's his will to do. And it's important having that clarification there. Because sometimes people have faith and they'll begin to think they don't have faith when they just not latched a hold of the hope. What has God said to me? Healing is mine. Then we continue in the process of the hearing of the word where faith rises to receive it. We say, I have it now. And the issue, it shouldn't be an issue like, well, how long? When is this going to happen? You just continue in faith. It says it was imputed to him for righteousness, or his right standing with God was based on the fact that he believed God. That gets into a whole other subject here with righteousness. But being fully persuaded, not partially persuaded, fully persuaded what God promised, he was able to do this. So this is the simplicity of receiving from God. It can be a great fight, can be a battle, a struggle, but it's simple. And I like that because we need to see things in terms of their simplicity. I have hope according to what was spoken. My faith is in his ability and power to do it. Now, the more you are a witness to the miracles of God, your faith will be encouraged or strengthened in that because you see him doing the miraculous. Your faith can begin to rise. That's why many times people we would refer to as like a healing evangelist, there's like this momentum that builds because people are seeing the manifestation and their faith or confidence in God's ability to do it just keeps rising and increasing. It builds a momentum. In our life, you can build a momentum in a positive or negative sense. Like if bad things keep happening, how much time do I have? Okay. 6 minutes. Okay. sometimes people have a momentum of negativity. Something bad happens and then, you know, they're expecting. Don't say, well, these things always happen to me. Oh, you know, yeah, it's just my luck. You know, don't talk like that. I mean, don't even let your mind go there to say those things because it's undermining being fully persuaded. We need to just stay focused on what God said and allow it to rise in our heart. Now, the testimony of the Lord, as we hear what he's done in others, that builds faith in us. What he's done for others, he can do for me. So many times in the Gospels, when we were looking through there, you would have people who heard of Jesus. They heard of what he'd done. Faith would rise in their heart. They say, if I can touch the hem of his garment, if he would come and lay his hand upon my son or daughter, because they heard that he had done these things, they believed he was able. You had the two blind men, and Jesus asked them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And he said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. They heard how he healed other blind men. And they believed he had compassion. They saw his compassion. They had a hope based on the compassion of Jesus. And they had a hope based on covenant with God. But they had a faith in, they heard he had done this. So what he's done for others, he can do for me. So it's very beneficial to us to hear testimony, which provides a strengthening of our faith because we're hearing of what was done by the power of God.
Yes.
If people are at a place, like say in a church, they never hear any testimony of the power of God, you'll find they generally don't have faith for the power of God. Or it's very limited, very small. But the more we're hearing of what the Lord has done, does, is doing, and will do, our faith is strengthened. And as we continue with that, we can come into that place of being fully persuaded. Now, he could have a word to you where he's going to say, raise you up, prosper you, where you're going to give great amounts in the kingdom of God, and you know you can't even pay your car payment right now, but you hold fast to that, and in your heart and in your mind, I don't know how this is going to be. It may take a miracle. Well, can God do that?
Yes,
yes God can. What was that cartoon? Yes, he can. Bob the Builder. Yes, he can. I don't know why it just come back in my mind. Probably because I heard it when the boys were real little. I probably heard that theme thing like 100 times. But the thing of God's the miracle worker. Yes, he can. Okay, he can do it. And there's the process of continuing to be strengthened in that. That being said, we need to be aware of what's going on in the world. But I find for whatever degree I'm hearing the negativity that's out there, I need much more so to be taken in the Word of God at some point in the day. My preference is to spend time with the Lord before I even encounter anyone or anything in my day. That's my preference. Sometimes schedules don't permit for that, but that's my preference, to have a couple hours with God before I even talk to anybody, before I do anything. And as the day wears on, well, then we'll turn the news on and find out what's going on. But at the end, I need that word coming back in so that you begin and end your day in faith. It's something to learn to establish as a discipline. I will begin and end my day in faith. You're never letting it get weak, never getting wore down.